This morning's scripture is from the Gospel of John, chapter 20, verses 19 through 31. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing, you may have life in his name. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Poor old Thomas. Poor Thomas. He has gotten a terrible rap over the years due to this scripture. I mean, there are other stories in the Gospel of John about Thomas, but they're not the ones we remember. This is the story we remember. This is the story that landed Thomas a nickname that we all know, right? Doubting Thomas. We use that now for anyone that we meet who is overly skeptical, someone who requires concrete proof before they will believe something. But here's the thing. That's not fair to Thomas. And I don't think it's fair to doubt. So let's start with Thomas. Yes, 100%. Thomas wanted to see real evidence that Jesus had risen from the dead. But just look a little closer at what happened and consider his position, if you will. On the evening of that first Easter, the disciples, who, by the way, had been told by Mary that she had seen the risen Lord, the disciples were locked in a room in fear. These are not the actions of people who believe something that has been told to them. They are locked up hiding, and suddenly Jesus appears to them. He wishes them peace. He shows them his hands and his side. And then they believe and they rejoice. But Thomas wasn't there. Thomas wasn't there when that happened. And when the disciples tell him, "We have seen the Lord," the same thing Mary told them, he doesn't believe them. And he states exactly what it is that he needs in order to believe. He needs to see Jesus' hands and his side. And then he is forever dubbed Doubting Thomas, with all of the negative connotations that that implies, because he simply said what it was that he needed to see, and it was the exact same thing they had seen. It doesn't seem fair to Thomas, does it? And like I mentioned, I don't think it's fair to the whole idea of doubt. Doubt, you see, is not necessarily a bad thing. It is not necessarily a bad thing. I read something this week in one of the footnotes in one of my Bibles that just jumped off the page for me about doubt. It said this: doubt is 1 foot raised, poised to step either forward or backward. There is no motion, though. No motion while that foot is in the air. That is doubt. That is doubt. So when you think about it that way, which I think we should, doubt is not necessarily a bad thing. When we doubt, and when we are honest with ourselves about our doubts, we are just asking questions. We are poised to take a step, but we are not sure in that moment which way that step is going to take us. So we ask a question. We take a pause. And in that moment, when we listen for the answers that we need, and then if we are able to take a step forward based on those answers, maybe a more sure step than all of the steps we had taken before, doubt has done some good work. I think that when we hear this story, and we think that when Jesus says, "Blessed are those who do not see and come to believe," I think we think somehow that Jesus is saying that Thomas is lesser than everyone else because he wanted to see to believe. I think that when we hear this story, we think that Thomas was lesser because he admitted to his friends that he needed more than their word. He needed more than their word that they had seen the risen Christ. I think we hear him say what he needs to believe, and we think somehow he is testing God. And I think we forget that the ones who were telling him that they had seen the risen Christ, who had been given the gift of the Holy Spirit, are sitting there in that room with him a week later, still shut up in that room. The door may not be locked. The gospel writer doesn't tell us that they're still in fear, but they aren't going anywhere. They seem like they had their own doubts and insecurities still going strong. We hear this story, and we might be inclined to think that Jesus was giving all of us who would never be firsthand witnesses, who would not walk on those roads with Jesus, who would not hear his teachings, who would not see his miracles, and who would believe anyway, we tend to read this story and think that Jesus is giving us a pat on the back because we believed without seeing. I think that we hear this story and we think that it's all about Thomas and what he lacked, or that it might even be about us and how great we are because we have faith. But that's not it at all. That's not it at all. This story is not about Thomas. It is not about his disciples. It is not about us. It is about the big, audacious, abundant grace of God. The grace of God that walks through closed and locked doors to get to his followers who are afraid to go out. It is about the grace of a God who will come into a room again a week later when they are faltering, and when one who wasn't there the week before is there. It is about the grace of a God that hears us when we are shut up and locked away, with our foot hanging in the air, unsure of which step we are going to take next, not knowing what to believe. It is about the grace of a God that loves us so much that he will show up if we need him to, again and again and again, because he doesn't want to lose a single one of us. A God that will walk into a room and breathe peace into situations where it is absolutely impossible to believe it could exist. It is about a God that will hold out his hands and show us his side, evidence that absolutely this world is a brutally violent, horribly unfair, devastating, tragic place to live, but that he will triumph anyway. It is a God who wants us to see that he is here. It is about a God that we might not recognize when he first appears. And that is why I truly believe that it is so very important that we are honest with ourselves about our doubts and about our fears and about our insecurities. We have got to be honest with ourselves. Whether we are brave enough to do it in front of all of our friends like Thomas, or if we just do it in the privacy of our own locked rooms. But we have got to be honest with ourselves, because that is the only way we are going to be fully aware of what our questions actually are. Because God knows them. God knows what our questions are, and he wants to come through every wall and every door and every lock that we have hidden ourselves behind to answer them. But we are only going to recognize them if we are conscious of what it is that our questions are. We are never going to see his answers if we're not honest about it. Doubt is not a bad thing. Those disciples who had seen Jesus risen from the dead with their own eyes had doubts just a week later. And Jesus showed up for them again, too. Not just Thomas. And then they put that wavering foot down and they moved forward in faith. And I bet they had a few more moments of doubt. They may have even taken a few steps backward along the way. But what we know is that they moved forward in faith because we're all here. If they hadn't done it, if they had not witnessed to what they had seen and what they knew and made God real in the world around them, we would not be here today. Now, some of us have moved forward without failing in our faith life. Some of us have taken a few steps backwards. And some of us this morning might be sitting there with our feet in the air, not sure what we are going to do next. God sees you. He sees all of us. And he knows all of our questions. And he wants to give us all of the answers that we need. But we have to be bold enough to admit to ourselves what those questions are. And then we have to be brave enough to look for the answers that he gives us.